this is your Polycast for Monday, April 10th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, lawmakers take a break and the future of the Perpich Center for the Arts. State lawmakers are on a spring break this week after passing a batch of big budget bills that will be the focus of intense negotiations when they return. DFL Governor Mark Dayton and Republican legislative leaders have some big differences to work out in the remaining 5 weeks of the session. They have a $1.65 billion surplus to work with, but that doesn't mean a compromise will come easy. Tim Pugmire reports.
After a series of marathon sessions to pass budget bills, Republican Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka said he would spend his time off on a beach. He wouldn't say where.
We know once we get back, we're going to be very busy negotiating with the governor, and I want to be totally refreshed as I do that.
Gazelka took the helm of his caucus after an election that gave Senate Republicans a narrow 34-33 majority. Since then, he's been talking about a change in tone, which he hopes will make for smoother negotiations in the session's final weeks. Gazelka said he's optimistic.
I think what's different this year is there is good dialogue between the governor and us, and both the House, Senate, and governor, I think, are talking more. And the benefit of that is you can communicate what areas are non-negotiable and what areas that you disagree on are still negotiable. And so it's never easy, but I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Gazelka said his must-haves include significant tax relief and a funding package for roads and bridges that does not include the gas tax increase favored by Governor Dayton. Gazelka said the biggest sticking point will likely be the governor's insistence on more money for pre-kindergarten. The Senate keeps pre-K funding flat while the House eliminates it. Dayton said last week that he'll hold out very hard for an increase in pre-K funding. He said Republicans simply don't want schools hiring additional teachers who will join a DFL-supporting union.
You know, what ought to drive the discussion is what's best for four-year-olds and not what the biases are of various adults.
Dayton rolled out his two-year budget plan back in January. He's had only a short time to digest the competing House and Senate proposals, but has found plenty that he doesn't like. His objections include delayed enforcement of the state buffer law, weakening of the Public Utilities Commission, cuts to mass transit, and cuts to state agencies. There's also disagreement over basic budget numbers, and Dayton wants that cleared up before negotiations begin.
Once that's achieved, then we've got a starting point. Until that's achieved, we're really, they're just talking different languages.
Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd said he wants a transparent conference committee process to work out the budget differences. Dowd said he also wants the governor and his staff fully engaged in the talks to reach a three-way agreement. But Dowd is looking for the governor to move closer to the House position, not the other way around.
Minnesotans have worked really hard and through their prosperity have provided us with a surplus. I think it's incumbent on us to respect that, where that came from, how we got it, use it very wisely for the things that Minnesotans expect, like roads and bridges and funding our schools, and then return what we don't need back to them so they can share in some of that prosperity.
There's a $1 billion gap between the House Republicans' tax cut proposal and the governor's. The Senate GOP's $900 million plan falls in between. Dayton has repeatedly said he won't put the state's fiscal health at risk with overly generous tax cuts. DFL Senate Minority Leader Tom Bach said Republicans are overreaching on the cuts in their tax bills.
I think the point they're missing on that is the governor doesn't need one. He just doesn't need one. We haven't had one the last 2 years, and the state's been doing just fine. And if they don't get serious about a tax bill, that's just not going to happen. But the budget does have to happen.
Conference committees will start digging into the budget when lawmakers return on April 18th. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
The future of two state-run schools is in doubt. Lawmakers are considering a bill that would close the state's Perpich Center for Arts Education following a highly critical legislative audit released earlier this year. But the center's new leaders say they're making changes. Solveig Wastvedt has the story.
Faith Busick enrolled her son at the Purpich Center's Golden Valley Arts High School last year. Shortly after he started, Busick ended up at an event where Purpich students read original pieces they'd written. Her son is in the school's writing program, one of six art specialties it offers.
It was incredible. I was bowled over, and I was completely, you know, my plans were redeemed. Like I said, but I had no idea it would be this good.
Busick loved the teachers, but she also noted problems. For instance, she says administrators were dismissive when she tried to get extra help for her son. A legislative audit released in January found a similar contradiction in the center, which also runs a Woodbury Middle School and arts outreach programs. The audit cited dedicated employees, but also found mismanagement and lax board oversight. So this session, some lawmakers say Purpich should close. Republican Representative Jennifer Loon of Eden Prairie spoke at a House Education Finance Committee hearing last month. A House education bill would close the center in 2018. Students could continue at its schools through the end of next year. Loon says Purpich's structure doesn't offer enough accountability, and she hopes programs could take another form. The bill would also create a division for arts outreach at the State Department of Education. A Senate education bill takes a different approach. It would keep Purpich open and require yearly reports on progress addressing audit findings. Those findings are top of mind for new Purpich board chair Ben Vanderkooy. Actually, they're listed all down the left-hand side of the oversized spreadsheet he pulls out of a manila envelope.
And then we have who's responsible, what the timeline is, what actions have been taken.
Vanderkooy and a majority of the board members are new as of last summer. Vanderkooy says they've formed a committee to rebuild the center's outreach. He says agency staff have corrected many of the financial audit findings. The center is searching for a new executive director, and Vanderkooy says they've narrowed 36 applicants down to six semifinalists.
We have thanked the auditor for doing the work they've done, because frankly, it saved us a lot of time as a board. They identified significant issues that needed to be fixed, and we are committed to fixing them.
Purpich High School principal Ahava Silky Jones also started this school year. She says she's made changes like more strictly enforcing attendance policies and ensuring the vast majority of students participate in state testing. Low participation was an audit concern. Silky Jones says application numbers for the high school have stayed steady.
Of course, we are looking to double our enrollment numbers, we're not there yet, but we're also not seeing a decrease.
Parent Faith Busick and her partner Randall Smith are still debating whether their younger daughter will be one of those new students. Smith says every problem has not been fixed, but he's cautiously optimistic.
You know, you're coming to clean up a train wreck. Is the wreck cleared from the track yet? No. So I think they're struggling.
But would they keep Purpich open? No hesitation.
I say double down.
Absolutely.
Double you know, down. Fix the problems that are wrong and make it excellent. It has so much potential to be excellent.
The fate of Purpich will be ironed out over the next month as the House and Senate work to reconcile their bills. Covering education, I'm Solveig Wastvedt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.